Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word before us, and we thank you for your world about us. Father, may we make that link between the two, that your word, as we hear it, may spur us into the service, into your service in the world as you see it. Amen. Well, this is the third time I've spoken on this passage today, so I hope that what I say will be fresh to some of you and a reminder to others. In the diocese at the moment, we're just discussing how it will be funded, and we're discussing parish share, the way that we give money into the diocese and how that's calculated. And every diocese in the country has had to work this out for years and years, since the mid-80s. And there are 40-odd dioceses in the country, and pretty much each one has a completely different scheme to the one next door, such as the Church of England. And none of them seem to be comfortable with the scheme that they've got. And each one does it differently, and the response from each parish is different. Some parishes say they will pay, and some parishes say they won't pay, for whatever those reasons might be. And this is a great parish, because here our response to the diocese is we will pay what you ask us. We don't necessarily agree with the way you're calculating this, but we will pay what you're asking us. The discussion on how they calculate it is yet to take place. But what's interesting is that you get some churches in every diocese and their response to the request to pay more than they're getting, so to pay more than it costs them to have a clergyman in their own church, their response is, no, we're not going to pay more than that because we don't know where the money's going to go. And the diocese says, well, the money's going to go to support other parishes in the diocese who can't afford to pay for their clergy or whatever it might be. Sounds pretty good, that, to me. But some churches, and I remember it particularly in Chester Diocese, although I'm sure it will happen in this diocese, some churches respond and say, we don't want our money to go to other churches where there might be a woman preaching. No. We don't want to send our money that might go to other churches where they might ring bells during communion. No, couldn't possibly do that. Or they might light candles. No, not sending our money there. We might want to send our money where they don't robe. Certainly don't want to send our money to churches where they put the host in the bin that's not consumed or down the sink if it's not drunk up. No, we couldn't possibly give our money to churches like that. And the money is held and it's ring-fenced and it's kept back, and the church as a whole begins to suffer. We're talking today about the church together making a difference across the world, not just across the diocese. We've got a group of mission partners in front of us who are quite diverse in what they do. They're across several continents. They deal with different age groups and people of different levels of education, people who are free to worship and people who aren't, people who live in total fear of it ever being discovered that they're Christians, and people who are open about their faith but still worry that one day the blasphemy police will come knocking on their door. All that the Lord asks of us is that we give them the chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord asks of us. In our reading from 3 John, we hear John, who he introduces himself as the elder, writing to his friend Gaius, who is a church leader. We don't know who he is. We don't really know where he is. It's possible that he could become the Bishop of Pergamum. Bless him. But it's probable that we don't actually know where he is at this time. And he writes to him and he says, "To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Dear friend, he says. Twice he says, my beloved one. He has such affection for this man. He's writing from a distance and he sees the plight of this chap who is leading a church which is facing an onslaught of untruth teaching. And he worries about the pressure that he's under, and he worries about the teaching that the church is getting, not from Gaius, but from those around him. And so he sends his prayers and his love to him. And a little bit more we'll read in a minute. He says to him, "I pray that you enjoy good health and that you may go well, your soul may go well along with your health." He cares about Gaius in terms of his spirituality and his faith and also his health, his physical well-being. One of the great things about some of our mission partners is that they really care about the whole life of a person. Whether it's starfish or whether it's bushfire or whether it's ICFEM, their primary concern is not just spiritual growth, but is health and well-being and the ability to become self-sustaining in life, either through education or through having healed bodies or through having homes to live in. Pick any one of those three mission partners and you've got that situation of caring for them that they may enjoy good health and that all may go well with their soul as well. We're not just interested in one simple part of a person's life when we give to our mission partners here at Christchurch. We're not just out to make holy Joes and that's all, and nor are we out just to promote a social gospel. We want to see people saved in Christ, but also for their lives to be changed. And it's great to look at what's happening at Bushfire and at Starfish and at ICFEM for that. But this is the interesting thing about this passage, is that when we look at it to begin with, we're not really looking at a missionary. Gaius is not a missionary. He is the end result of the missionaries. So often we focus when we're talking about missionaries on how they're doing, how are their children, how are their aches, their pains, their this, their that, and all of that. But what John is interested in, he's interested in the outworking of their work. And we see that because he begins by talking to Gaius, who is at the outworking of the work of the missionaries who get sent out later on in this passage. There in verse 5 we read, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you." These strangers are missionaries that have gone out from John. He sent them out to support the church of Gaius, wherever Gaius is. That's what we're doing with our mission partners. We're sending them out not because we think they are anything wildly special, but because we want to see others come to know Jesus. That's what we care about here as we look at our missionary partners. We care about whether children at Bushfire, or in that part of Uganda, can get somewhere to live that is safe, can develop an education and a vocation that enables them to live as individuals, and that they would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. We care about those people who are trying to discover a greater meaning of life in the Middle East, but cannot get hold of Bibles and New Testaments and information about Jesus, even though they have heard a whisper on the wind that this Jesus is changing lives and offers them hope that they've never heard of before. We care about those children in Pakistan who have no hope of a better life in the brick kiln areas of Pakistan unless they get a better education. And the only education that they can get, if they can get it, are in Muslim-controlled schools, which will teach them the Muslim way of life. We care that they get a Christian education. We care that they are nurtured and nourished in the faith of their families. We care that they are able to take a place in society and take their Christianity into society and bring a transformation there, right at the heart of a nation which is at war with itself. When John writes to Gaius, he says, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing. I have told the church about your love. And when you see these people, when you get these missionaries," he says, "please send them on their way in a manner that honours God." When we think about missionaries, and some of you will already give very generously to missionaries, and we're well aware of that. But for some, it's perhaps a thing that's never been part of our giving. It's never been part of our conscience. It's never been something that's really floated our boat or lit our candle or whatever it might be. It's just been that Sunday in the year where somebody gets up and we watch a crackly film and it's just all a bit distant and it doesn't really mean anything. But John says to Gaius, look after these people in a way that is honouring to God. They're doing the Lord's work, he says. They've gone in the name of God. It was for the sake of the name of Jesus that they went out. And they went out without any help at all. So, Gaius, be honouring to God in the way that you treat them. We're called to give honour to God in the way that we support our mission partners. One commentator that I read, Moffat, who is a reasonably well-known theologian, he said, supporting missionaries proves we are allies in the truth. I really appreciated that statement, for all that it's hard to swallow if missionary support is not really our thing. Let me read it to you again. Supporting missionaries proves we are allies in the truth. What he's saying is if we don't support missionaries, then we're really saying is we'll keep the truth to ourselves. The truth isn't about spreading the word of God. We're not really interested in about extending the kingdom. We don't really care whether others will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. But if we engage with this prayerfully, with energy and financially, then we are allies in the truth. It's a theme that runs through the gospel that we should support those and we should welcome those around and about us who are doing the Lord's work. And so today we simply ask you, and I say we as part of the missionary committee, we simply ask you to look at the papers that have been given to you as you came in and hear the words of John as he urges Gaius to support those and welcome those who are doing the Lord's work. And set your minds on those whose lives will be transformed by the work of the people presented to you today. Think about the children in Pakistan who will receive an education for the first time in a generation or more through the giving that you make. Think about how we might help those children, 400 plus at bushfire, to grow into young adults who have an ability to sustain themselves both physically and materially, but also spiritually as they come to know Jesus. Think about those people in Kenya who are being served by the ICFEM mission, whose lives are changed because of the medical work that goes on in the Dreamland Hospital, whose hearts are transformed by the local transformation units. Think about the encouragement given to those Muslims trying to break free from the faith of their ancestors that has condemned them for years and years and years. Those who cannot find a Bible or a New Testament. Those who desperately want to know about this Jesus who is changing their lives. Think about all these people who are needing to hear the word of God. In a moment, I'm going to give you the chance just to prayerfully reflect on what's being asked of you this evening, what's being asked of you today, and hope that you will be brave enough during the last hymn to make your response and to put it in the jar. You may have already made that response today. But tonight is an opportunity for you to recommit yourself to being allies in the truth, to being those who support missionaries that go out to make a difference to churches and communities and fellowships and individuals all around the world. Tonight we are unashamedly saying to you that we are called to step up, to give and to support those who are doing the Lord's work where we cannot go. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, as we enter a time of quietness, speak to our hearts of your heart for those children at St. Mary's Primary School in Pakistan, for those in the community of ICFEM in Western Kenya, for the children and young people who have found a home in the bushfire orphanage. Father, for those who receive teaching from Howard and Nora, and for those in the Arab world who need and who are receiving Arabic Bibles and New Testaments. Father, for Dick and Caroline Seed and the Church of Africa, they are seeking to bring a change that it is no longer just a mile wide and an inch deep, but a mile wide and a mile deep in its faith. Lord, we want to be part of your heart's change for the world. Amen.